So what do you think? Does God have favorites? Does God play favorites? No? I often wonder, when they, interview athletes after a game, a lot of them say, well, I like to thank God, because I knew that he would help me and guide me in winning this game or this match, But what happens when you lose? Right? It's interesting. Some of you know I'm working at a high school, St. Francis High School in Mountain View. And over there, I'm the chaplain for many of the teams. And especially, what's the biggest sport? Like football, right? So I lead the chapel prayer service every Thursday. And this year, we're doing very well. We beat all of our rivals. We've lost to Bellarmine High School for 11 years. But we won this year. We destroyed Midi. And we're doing very well. And I like to attribute that to myself. Because we were losing before I took over, the duties, So it must be me, right? I'm like a Pharisee, like to toot myself, But I'm like a good luck charm. When we win, they're like, oh, yeah, Father Steve, thank you, I wonder what's going to happen when we lose, right? The readings today clearly kind of, I think it gives us an answer. The first reading says, the Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. So clearly, God doesn't play favorites, yet he has a soft heart, especially for the weak, the oppressed, the orphans. And he has a soft heart to those who need it more. And in the gospel, the Lord has a soft heart for those who are contrite. What's the main difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector in the way they pray? Right? In the end, why does God prefer the prayer of the tax collector, right? And not the Pharisee? Because there's a Pharisee that stands in front of the temple and kind of pretty much thankful for himself that he's not like the rest of humanity. World is greedy, dishonest, adulterous, but he is so great. He fasts and tithes. And did you listen? He says, not only do I tithe, but I tithe on the whole income, is what he says, right? And the tax collector, on the other hand, he's at the back of the temple. And he's kind of probably just bowed down. And it says he can't even raise his eyes up to heaven. And he says, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? The difference between the two is not that one is cockier or one is humble or one is pious. Simply put, the tax collector was the one who went home justified because he was the one who asked for mercy. The Pharisee doesn't need God's help because he's really good, right? He's already good. Everything's good for him. But the tax collector is the one who is in dire need of God's help. And the Pharisee's attitude of, I'm good just the way I am, kind of represents what's going on in today's society. Everything's got to be like politically correct and like everything is just fine the way things are. And what I've noticed, do you have children, who play, instruments or do extracurricular activities, play the piano, or maybe they play sports, things like that, right? And I see this very common, right? When, for example, when you have a son or a daughter who's on the baseball team and who has never gotten a hit the entire season, and you're like, and then what do the parents try to tell the kids? It's okay, you're my son, you're the best. Keep at it. You've never gotten a hit the entire season, but someday you will do it. Okay, keep at it. You're good, and excellent. Oh, but mom, I'm so bad. Don't worry, keep at it. You're the best player in the world. It's just that these coaches, they don't know, but you're great, excellent, You're my son, yeah, And I understand there's a certain level of you want to boost your kid's confidence, right? And kind of motivate, inspire. That's excellent. But then what ends up happening is a lot of times what I notice is that when that kid goes to high school, right? What has he been told by his parents the whole time? Like, you're the best, Even though I've never gotten a hit, I'm the best, right? So then that kid tries out for the basketball team or the football team or the baseball team, right? Or try to be the lead person in the play coming up. And then what happens? It's called reality. Reality hits. You know what I mean? And I almost feel like as parents, we set up our kids for failure in that sense. You know? It's getting to a point where, you know, we don't tell anything bad to our kids because we want them to be great. And maybe they are great. But we're at a point where it's a sin to recognize one's sins now. Do you know what I mean? It is now a sin to recognize one's own faults. Right? In fact, have you ever heard of something called strength finders? Right? It's this really big research study saying that basically what we need to do is we need to focus on our strength. What are you good at? Right? And the more we focus on what we're good at, all of our weaknesses will be eliminated. But that's the whole premise. I love the book. It's got great research. But I mean, if I'm so good at A, B, and C, you got to do more of A, B, and C. And then I'll just not worry about what I'm not good at. Does that make any sense to you? That doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the kind of society what we're living in. That's like one of the most, sold. Everybody loves that stuff. All the business and companies, they're into that, right? And what happens is if we only focus on our strengths and what we're good at, okay, like reality is going to hit. Reality is going to hit, right? And it's going to hurt, right? And when it also comes to our relationship with Jesus, he answers all our prayers, but favors the one who recognizes not one's strengths, but one's weaknesses, right? And I understand, you know, maybe if you did something wrong, do you like to admit it? Who does? I mean, I don't like to go to confession, you know? Because who likes to admit that I have a weakness? Who likes to actually say that I'm not really good at certain things, right? But when your parents or your supervisor or your boss or this happens all the time, when you get pulled over by the police, right? Okay, and then you pull over and you're all nervous and then you roll down the window. And oftentimes, what does a police officer say to you? Is there something that you would like to tell me? Do you know why I pulled you over? Do you get that all the time, right? Do you know why I pulled you over? And what do you say? I don't know. Well, let me tell you, right? Oftentimes, honesty is the best policy, right? And when he tells you, do you know why I pulled you over? You got to start thinking, well, was I driving too fast? Was I da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? You know, am I drunk? I don't know, right? But you have to be honest, right? And when you're honest, most likely, the police officer, hopefully, he'll kind of let you off, right? But if you have that pharisaical attitude, it's like, well, I'm fine just the way I am. I don't know why you pulled me over. And then he's going to look for evidence to try to, you know, nail you, right? And when we come to Mass, right at the beginning, you know, like every Mass at the beginning, after we make the sign of the cross, and there's a little introduction, what do I usually say? Or the priest? Not in those exact words, a little bit different. But I say, let us call to mind our sins, right? Jesus is basically asking, hey, at the beginning of Mass, before we get things started, before we break open the word, before you receive my body and blood, is there something you want to tell me? Is there something that happened this week that you want to tell me? Right? And are you going to be like the Pharisees? Oh, I'm good, just the way I am. Been there, done that. I'm good, you know? Or are you going to be like the tax collector who says, well, be merciful to me, Lord, for I'm a sinner, right? And there's no point in hiding because he already knows everything, right? And I think that first part of the Mass where some of us kind of skip it or we kind of whatever, that's so important because it kind of gets us into that right framework and the right attitude. And sometimes, and let me give you an example, just for myself, as somebody who celebrates the Mass, there are times where I go into Mass thinking I'm great. You know, oh, I'm so good. You know, like, yeah, I'm like happy and things are so good. And like, I'm so full of myself, you know. And then when that happens, the Lord does not get into my whole system, and it doesn't really work, you know. And there, I'm embarrassed to say this to you, but it was actually was at a daily mass, because it's not as bad, I guess. But it was here at this mass. You know, during the consecration, the liturgy of the Eucharist. You know, when I say, like, when I hold up the bread, the body of Christ, and I say, take this, all of you, and eat of it. I recognize right when I was saying that, take this, all of you, and eat of it, I was holding up the chalice. Whoa. That's how lost I was. Because I was, you know, I was not focused on the Lord. I was focused on myself and other things, right? And I wonder if that happens to us sometimes, right? But there was another time, like right before Mass, like I got into this huge argument with one of my friends, and I don't even know what it was about, but I was so mad, you know? And he was mad at me, you know, all right? And I recognized that's not the kind of attitude that I should have going into Mass, especially celebrating the Mass, no? And when it came to that beginning part where, you know, where we ask God for mercy, I really asked God for forgiveness and mercy at that Mass. And then I could really feel it. And I was in a different disposition. I was in a different kind of attitude because I asked for it, right? So that's kind of what I ask us to think about, you know? Mass is not over yet. So if you skip the first part, that's okay. You know, you can still ask God for mercy and kind of ask yourself, what kind of attitude do I have going into Mass? More of like the Pharisee attitude. I'm fine just the way I am. I'm here. I got to do my duty, but I'm a good person. And so are my kids. They're perfect. Okay? Or is it more of like the tax collector and saying, okay, maybe I am a good person, but I have some issues. And my family got issues, you know? And I need to ask God for mercy and forgiveness, right? So kind of, we're looking for that kind of attitude, right? And when you come back next Sunday, at the beginning of Mass, before we kind of get things started, when I say, let us call to mind our sins, right? And as we're saying, you know, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, try to recall, you know, the attitude of the tax collector and say, wow, what are some things that happened? What is the highlight reel this week? And what are some things that I really need to ask God for forgiveness and mercy,